You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
To go to Los Angeles. This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Thank you for joining me on this post-Thanksgiving harvest show. Happy everything that everybody celebrates. I hope everyone had a fabulous and safe holiday. Today we have a full show. I just want to give a top shout out to our sponsors at Casa del Camino, the Casa del Camino here in Laguna Beach, Michael Solberg Family Wines, Next Level Global Solutions. Thank you so much for your continued support. And our first guest today, we have Hampton. You got to get it right. Hampton, P.L. Hampton, how's it going today? Welcome to The Startup.
It's going good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for making time during this holiday weekend. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody about your brand?
Sure. My name is P.L. Hampton. I am an author, a JD student going to law school right now. I'm also a professor. I have written a wonderful book by the name of Shadowland. You can find it anywhere that you online, as well as Rise Press in L.A. It's a great book. It's about dealing with a lot of African culture, African themes. So, yeah.
I love it. So let's jump right in. Congratulations on working on your legal eagle. Now, what do we call you, Esquire now?
Esquire comes after you pass the law, pass the bar.
Okay, well, I'm putting that out there for you if that's what you want. So tell us how you got into writing this book and, how did you come up with the title? What was your first inclination to do this book?
So I'll start off with how did I come up with the title. The title kind of has a double meaning to it. So if you read the book, there's this place that is called Shadowland, but also the main character, the protagonist, he has some mental issues, so you're not sure if the things that this individual is experiencing are real or if they are in this person's mind. So it's kind of the shadow, the shadowy part of your brain that, you're trying to decipher between reality and fantasy.
Yeah, that's really great. I hear oftentimes from authors and myself working on the things I've been working on for how many years now, but the vision pulls you forward. The title pulls you forward. Was that the case for yourself, coming up with the title first and maybe just the premise or?
The title didn't come from, my title usually doesn't come first. What comes first is the characters. And it's usually for me, the characters drag the story. They take me where they want to go. I have in my mind something like I want to happen or an outline that I might happen, but then the characters will take me somewhere totally different and I just follow along. That's where this came from. And I really wanted to delve into African-American themes, African culture, things that, I guess I hate to say right now, kind of not being talked about or banned. I wanted to delve into that and really show how Africa, as well as African-American history, is woven in deeply into American history.
Beautiful. I think the time is now and is very good for this message. And just to show, so many similarities. I mean, we're all different, but we're all kind of, we're thrown together, and it is something that you need to share. And I'm glad you're doing it. Where do you see this book taking the reader? So let's say they've never read a book like this. It sounds like it's a mix of heritage with fantasy. How would you classify it? What should the reader expect without giving away your secret sauce?
I would call it a supernatural thriller. A lot of paranormal here. It'll take the reader on an adventure. Like I said, you don't know if this is an adventure that you are traveling on within the main character's mind or if this is really happening. It will cause the reader to question such things as what is actually death? What is death a state of being? What is it? What is it really? Things of that nature. I don't really write in regards to from a horror standpoint. That's the genre that they put me in. But from a horror standpoint, I don't really get into gore. I like to lead the reader on breadcrumbs. I like to lay breadcrumbs and just build up to the anticipation. Yeah. I don't, there's not a lot of guts.
Yeah. Well, as a horror fan, there's many different categories, and it sounds like you're definitely in the suspense thriller sector from what you are sharing. But it sounds like you're also causing the reader to think about the past, right? I mean, is there a little excerpt that you would like to read, maybe a 30-second excerpt from your book that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
I'm putting it on the spot, guys. Show the front of the book one more time, PL, so people can see it. Hold it up real close.
Here's the book. I wasn't expecting an excerpt. I usually have an excerpt ready, but I don't have an excerpt ready.
Okay,
I usually have one. I guess I could say that I'll read this to back cover. How about that?
That'd be beautiful.
When his friend Otis gives his divination tray as a housewarming gift to Aaron, Aaron thinks nothing of it. However, a weird occurrences begin to happen around him. Aaron's life is suddenly thrust into turmoil with the disappearance of his son, Asher, and daughter, Imani. And as Aaron's marriage and life spiral out of control and the police zero on him as the prime suspect in his children's disappearance, Aaron realizes he and his friends may have unleashed ancient supernatural powers that have best should have been left alone.
Oh, wow. I can see this on my screen one day. I know right now that I would love it. I'm so excited. Congratulations. Where can people pick it up? Amazon, and I'm assuming Kindle. Where do you prefer people to pick up the book?
My website is under construction right now. But Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble's, Goodreads, as well as you can follow me on Instagram at p.lhampton_author. And it is Shadowland. And this is a divination tray, my divination tray, actually, right there on the cover.
Beautiful. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Your people have to send me a copy. I'm waiting any day now. Well,
I should have got that too.
It's coming. It's coming, I'm sure. And you know what? It's a great time, you guys, to get this book, put it in the stocking stuffers, you know, encourage people to read, encourage that imagination. It sounds like there's going to be a historical lesson in there, a cultural lesson that we all can benefit from. So thank you so much for pouring your heart out in literature and, you know, making us better. I think this is great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Come back and check on us, PL. We would love to have you back.
I will do that. You have a great day.
All right. PL Hampton, Shadowlands. Thank you, PL, for your time. All right, guys. I've got another guest here. Charles is here from SWAC.
You got it. That's SWAC. Yeah.
I had to do the little play on words we did earlier to remember it, but it's a very unique name. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Cohen. Charles, welcome.
Hi there.
Hello.
So go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead and introduce yourself and your brand.
Sure thing. I was going to just start off with the name SWAC, which stands for Sealed with a QR Code. My mom used to write me letters and write SWAC with a K because she would seal the letter with a kiss. But we're sealing with a QR code because what SWAC does is it replaces paper-based notes with video messaging. So we can take the power of social media style messaging with animations, all the fun things that you can do right on your mobile device. And by using a QR code that comes with your gift, you're able to kind of see the likeness and of the person who bought you that gift. And these days with e-commerce, people are buying stuff online. They can't be with you when you get the gift. So this is a way to kind of bring them into that moment. You can feel it. And in fact, person who's sending you the gift, because it's digital, can get notified when you open up the gift. So you can actually kind of create a real live time-based experience with your friend, as remote as they may be.
Wow. Move over, Santa. You're fired. We've got SWAC here. I mean, your mother was quite the, she was quite the, she foresaw the future here. And I love that you took something so, so kind and very special to you, endearing to you, and try to recreate. It looks like you're recreating that feeling when people do this together. Is that kind of what the gist is?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I can't take all the credit. My partner, Alex, and I can't be with us. You know, we've kind of been very sentimental buddies for a very long time. And we kind of were kind of in the getting into, as we decided to kind of start this business, we realized it's the thought that counts when it comes to gifting. So we batted around ideas related to customization of products, actual wine labels or beer bottles or things for certain occasions. But in fact, it really is the ability to kind of bring that person to create a new experience in real time at that moment of opening a gift. That's what's special. We want to enhance that and kind of bring it up to the 21st century, because the paper-based notes, they often get forgotten, and you know, and there's nothing to kind of to live after that moment. Even after the gift itself has expired, these messages, because they're digital, can live on. You can keep them forever.
Wow. What a simple but genius idea. Dang it, I didn't think of it. It's kind of like the selfie stick. I wish I had the patent to it. You know, it's beautiful, and you're right. It does. I mean, I guess this coming, you know, post-endemic phase, if anyone knows me, I've done 3 documentaries on the pandemic, surveying people around the world, and just kind of like it's a time capsule. And seeing entrepreneurs and how they move, and you have really stepped into that space that speaks to like, hey, I probably we're not going to see you. I'm being a hermit still, but here's the gift, or you're too busy, or we're remote still for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it actually, the kind of idea was born during COVID, really, when there's so much disconnect happening, and social media kind of ramped up, and all. We also noticed that during uncertain occasions, right, for your birthdays, anniversaries, people like to share that on social media. So this is a way to kind of marry those two different realms, the digital and the physical, and kind of create really a much more special experience for the recipient.
Wonderful. So now that you've did this, you are officially one of those brands I love to get my hands on that were born in the pandemic. I find you guys to be so incredibly special and super driven and tapping into something even more so. I mean, all entrepreneurs are amazing to me, but doing it in that time was quite interesting. What do you want people to know about Squawk? How did you guys get your heads wrapped around this at a time we were all standing still? And where is the app today?
So it is not an app that you need to download. It's all web-based. And basically, when you buy a QR code through one of our partners, like Insomnia Cookies, if you're going to buy like, We're partnering with their business to business right now. So if you're sending 100 boxes of cookies to your employees or to your favorite clients, you can add a Squawk video message. So what they will do is they'll send you a link, you upload your video, and they in fulfillment are adding that label, that beautiful, we printed on holographic foil, it's super special and fun to look at. So the recipient opens up the box, it's the first thing that they see, they scan it and see the video. And for corporate gifting, which is a big segment of our business, we can provide tracking and all, making follow-up a lot more beneficial and effective.
Great, B2B right now. When do you, if you do, do you foresee going B2C and in which way, without giving away all your magic?
I'm happy to spill it all because we are launching our direct to consumer imminently. It's a little bit, we would hope to kind of bid more in store because of the holiday season. Well, we are, I think by the end of, or the first week in December, we should have a product ready to kind of, for anyone to kind of go and order from us. In fact, if you want to just send me an email at hello@swack.co, then I can certainly set you up with a bundle. Definitely a free sample for sure for those people who are willing to send me a message right away.
Let's replug that. Do it again. You got a holiday offer, everybody. Be one of the first ones, B2C. Go ahead.
So if anyone decides to email me and take me up on this offer, I'd love to kind of send you a small bundle of free Squawk cards, which you can use at your leisure during your gift giving. Hopefully we can make it in time for the holidays, but certainly before Valentine's Day. Just send me an email at hello, H-E-L-L-O, at Squawk, SWAQ.co. Please also visit our website at Squawk.co. It's really kind of explains it all. There's many applications, not just gifting. It's a phenomenal sales tool. It really kind of has been kind of an amazing experience to see how many ways that this sort of bridging of the physical and the digital can apply itself to many use cases.
I know that we're going to see you just leaps and bounds a year from today. I'm really excited to do what you do in Q4 of 2024. I know that, don't forget about the little guys, okay, Charles?
Well, let's make a date.
What'd you say?
Let's make a date. Let's do it
let's
again.
Make a date. Come back around this time because, you know, I see it like I have my hands in a few other pots, of course, and the wine thing is a big deal for me. I think that's my trademark up there. But, you know, when you mention wine labels, I think that's so smart. I think that you can, you know, getting with the flowers and that is correct. Really a smart way to attach and create a new followership stream and a revenue stream and something that's already going, right? You're hitching your train to the tracks that are already correct. Going. So well done there. Guys, check out Charles at Squawk, okay? Not whack, Squawk. sealed with a QR, not sealed with a kiss. There you go. And make your expressions, your heartfelt wishes, your love, your friendship, your admiration, your sympathy, whatever you're sending, come to life and have that person relive it time and time again. Thank you for marrying technology with sentiment. I think it's beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. And by the way, if any of the any merchants listening out there, any retailers want to that happen to be on Shopify, they can go to our website and install a plugin and start selling it right away. So that's one thing that's available to anybody who's listening.
That's awesome. We're going to talk again, Charles. I want you to come out here for the Emmys. I think we've got some stuff going for you. Well done.
Awesome. Thanks, Monique. Love, right, love it. Looking forward soon. To it. Thank you. Take
You're
care.
Welcome. Congratulations. All right, guys. Next up, we have Daniel. Daniel from Flutterpants.
Hey, everyone.
How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having us. By us, I mean the whole company on your show.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself and who Flutterpants is.
I'm Daniel Amir. I'm the founder and CEO of Flutterpads, Inc. We are a Los Angeles-based startup, about 2 years old officially, but unofficially much longer than that. What we're bringing to the market is something very, very unique. We are providing the market a digital platform for anyone to looking for extended stay rentals. That means 1 month or more. And we are just like Charles before, who is marrying the digital world with the emotional. We are marrying the digital world with physical assets, which means we're one of the first companies on earth I can think of that's bringing a online rental marketplace, just like your VRBOs and Airbnbs, but the company itself owns its own assets as well. So we are in very close contact with the product that we're putting in front of customers and what their experience is going to be. We know it to the molecular level.
Beautiful, beautifully said, Daniel. And I like that you put one of the first on earth. Now that gets my ears perked right on up because, you know, here in the startup, we hear a lot of things. What really stood out to me is Flutter. Flutter. Where did that word come from? I have an idea, but why don't you tell us?
Flutter comes from freedom, flexibility, like roosting. So you fly from your home, just like you. I think, Monique, you were just mentioning, I've seen your other shows. You are always traveling by need, by necessity, right? Yes. So you come in, flutter in, perch for a little bit, whether it's a month, whether it's a few weeks, and then you have to fly out. And you are leaving one good place to another good place for need-based lodging. So Flutter stands for freedom and flexibility of a bird. So that's something, it's very important that I kind of clarify where the name, the decision behind the name came from. The problem we're approaching, and we're we actually solved it with our product, is that in our country, there's a giant segment that everybody knows, which is a vacation rental. It's all over the news, whether for good reasons, bad reasons, political or, you know, economic. You have arguments on all sides and people are up in arms if they're being, you know, told something that they're doing wrong, or other people are saying that vacation rentals bring in economic activity to private individuals or to the cities, whatnot. We are actually in the need-based travel space. So people like you in the media, traveling medical professionals. We have people who are seeking medical treatment. We have digital nomads. Then we have destination contract workers, such as construction companies, engineers. You name it, we have it. So Flutter offers the opportunity to be at home wherever you want need to be. And no chains as a long-term lease. This is where the problem comes in. Or expensive, you know, bank-breaking
deposits, checks, retinal scans, blood donations.
No. I'm talking about short-term rentals. Yeah, short-term rentals. You go to short-term rentals. You have, you got the long-term with the leases and you know, you break this, you break that, and then you have the short-term rentals, 14, 15% commissions. charged by the third party, which is the standard industry, which is the website-based platform. We are a membership-based platform. You can choose to be a member, and you will never see those giant fees or security deposits.
Very well done. And using technology now, we're getting smart and we're rethinking things, and change is a coming. I mean, hey guys, you know, be mad at, we can't stay stagnant, right? I mean, the market doesn't stay stagnant. Why should revisiting and rethinking spaces and how we do things be an exception? So I really love that you've been to one too many timeshare.
I'll tell you this. It wasn't even timeshare. Okay, yeah. From the time I was a college student living mm-hmm. six guys deep in an apartment that was horribly taken care of, we're being charged premium, you know, mm-hmm. where I went to school. I, just like you, I'm an Angelino. I'm from Hollywood, Los Angeles. The most recent 3 years ago when my wife and I were living in an apartment in Santa Monica, which is an upscale place, but horrendous conditions where you would be very shy to bring guests in. I took that stuff to heart. And, I don't know if your audience is grasping what we're saying. The problem that we solved and we're solving each and every day wasn't something we thought of, like a unicorn company and saying, oh, we're coming with this grand scheme of things. We were approached by the problems. We're approached by people. Hi, do you have this? Do you have that?
And we started listening.
And interesting thing enough, what I was saying is that we're a two-year-old company, but not really. When I did my first the opening line, is because we started as a homegrown Los Angeles-based, very modern, young real estate development company. So we design and build our own companies. That's another giant difference between us and those massive websites who are nothing but a website.
Yeah.
That offer you properties. We build those products. We know how to maintain them. We know how when people walk through a hallway, where their elbows would hit. So imagine a company like that builds the product, doesn't use middlemen, lets other people join their platform. And hence, when the products come to the platform, you as the consumer click on saying, I want to rent this for the next 45 days for myself. You will know that product came from a website that itself owns those products themselves. They manufacture those products, which is real estate. It doesn't exist. So our competitors were, let's say the giant ones, which I don't even have to name because everybody knows as soon as they think of, oh, I'm going to rent something for a weekend. Two or three names come to the names to their minds. All of these enterprises, and I'm very proud of them because they led the way. They opened this adoption of temporary stays and democratizing lodgings. I'm proud of the American ingenuity, but what they're missing is that they do not make the products. They don't know how people feel inside. They're just the accommodators of connections.
Yeah.
We are that. So we have taken the digital convenience of distribution of the product marketing, basically, marrying that with solid concrete and steel and lumber that we build ourselves. So anybody who comes to our platform, they know that they're joining a website. And this is another critical thing, difference between us and our competitors. We are selective. Just because you put your property, just, you know, you can put up any property anywhere that you have onto Airbnb or VRBO. We are not that. You have to meet our requirements because our first and foremost concern is our guests.
You know, I love what you said and way to put it and wait because there is a space for everyone and not everybody's looking for the same thing. But the thing that you're doing different here that really piques my interest is you have skin in the game, right? Like you said, I know where my elbows fit in the halls. We've laid this out for you, so who better to sell it to you or rent it to you than us? I also like your membership base system set up. I like that you are selective. It also, if I could just be transparent here, guys, in this move, getting into this place here, I'm two blocks from the ocean, 40 people a day looked at this place, and I got selected and I really had to hustle to get this place. And when I tell you I gave everything I had to get it, it's true. But I'm very happy when I'm in Laguna Beach. And I'm yeah, what are you going to say?
Behind me is actually, I'm sitting in a Flower Pads offering. This is one of our products.
It's beautiful.
Yes. So another, I mean, we are a company of differences. We are a company of very specific features and benefits. We are catered, as I was saying earlier, and I've said a lot of things in a compact period of time, but we are catering our business to the everyday living. So we wouldn't necessarily focus on, let's say, a beachside home unless it was really close to areas of employment or school or and other everyday needs. The biggest difference between us and the short-term rental industry is that their focus is on discretionary vacation or entertainment spending. We are not. We are a need-based travel industry specialist. So everyone who comes to Flutter Pad's website or just finds us through other web channels we have our distribution at, they're coming from work. They're purpose-driven work. Participating in entertainment. There's a lot of actors and actresses and like a Pantages Theater. We have hosted loads of their stage crews.
Yeah.
Kaiser Hospital.
And traveling nurses and medical staff. You know, I was going to share with you about why I mentioned Laguna and just being transparent and where you're filling in the gap for someone like myself. I want you to know it was really complicated. It was a challenge, right? And so on top of that, you're also paying a daily premium at the extended stay or whatever the heck, wherever you're going, and you're looking for a weekly, you got to put a credit card down, whatever. And so for you to have a Flutter Pad
membership
for someone like
myself.
All of
that's gone.
Yeah, all of that's gone. What does it look like financially? Let's say I was in between this move and I can't move in until September 1st and I've got 2 weeks. And I gave them all my money, and I can't give you a $2,000 deposit. What can I do? How do we get in?
You gave a deposit. First of all, you wouldn't have to do that if Flutter Pads had, well, the investors we need to go expand. We're actually just in our test market of Los Angeles. I'll get into the financials if you have time for me. It's insane. So if you were a Flutter Pads member, number one, you would, if you chose to be a member, we don't force you to be a member. If you chose to be a member, you wouldn't have a deposit. And number two, you can bounce around in all of our offerings.
Oh.
You don't have to stay in one place. I hate to let you in for the check-in date. We will, our staff will hand select a property for you to perch in, flutter in, stay until your real nest is open, and move on in. You can upgrade, downgrade as your needs change. So it could be in a 3-bedroom now because you need one for your office and two for you and your guests. Or if things become different and you downgrade to one bedroom, just say, hey, I need a downgrade. You know, just go on your website and select a 1-bedroom. So all of that becomes very, very concierge type. So, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but funny enough, in 18 months, we actually own for 11 plus million dollars worth of assets ourselves, bootstrapped. You know, we've been eating top ramen and using finance as our strategy because we have a very bad habit of not marketing or telling people of what we're doing until we've done it. So entirety of our history, we have been very quiet, only word of mouth. And that has led to 85% occupancy,
wow.
$700K plus in revenue in 18 months.
Wow.
And nobody knows us. And
congratulations.
I know. And so we're going to WeFunder.com for the first time in our entire history. The real history is 8 years old. But the last 2 years, we became Flutter Pads. This is what our destiny was bringing us to. So we are going to be in WeFunder.com, which is the crowdfunding platform where Silicon Valley type startups secure funding. So all of your guests on the show or hosts on your show, sorry, the listeners of your show, invite you to come take a look at an opportunity that you would be very happy looking back a few years from now because of what we are, where we come from, and what we've seen. Our entire focus is on four P's, I would say. People, so our staff and our guests, our hosts and our investors. People, we've always been this way. Product, we care about the minute details. And unfortunately, even if a host brings in their property, you're going to have to meet some of those details. So all the torture that I've gone through and my friends gone through living in a horrendous rentals where you've paid down, the whole blob of money, we don't ever want to see that in our property or any properties under in our website. It's not that difficult, but, we'll guide hosts through. So people, product, placement. We choose our properties to be very convenient to work, entertainment, dining, and everyday living. Why? Because we came from real estate development DNA. We weren't just a bunch of tech guys opening a website. We built product. We built real estate having to know our population, our demographics, where they can go to work, where they would feel comfortable bringing people in, be proud of. So people, product, placement, and last thing is pricing. Freedom, flexibility in our pricing. Freedom and flexibility.
Beautiful, beautifully said. And especially, they say that great ideas are answering a problem or answering a question or something you've personally been through. And I could feel it when you were talking about it before you even shared about the six guys in an apartment. I could feel from you that you've been through this. So you know what people are looking for. And that's always a good idea.
And Monique, I'm going to interrupt you one more time. It's actually very heartbreaking to me because I was a finance guy. I was never a startup kind of guy. I'm a banker, onto my computer and numbers before I became an entrepreneur. The country is going through a converging of different type of crisis. So we have the economic crisis, that's political, geopolitical, and in nature. And also we've gone through the COVID, so we've gone through the upward recovery period of COVID, which, led to inflation, blah, blah, blah. So we have this economic crisis. Then we have supply chain. So if you are a homeowner and you thought, okay, I couldn't sell my home, I may as well fix it. It'll take you a long, long time to fix it because you can't find parts, things like that. So half-done homes, we get guests who thought their homes would be remodeled or repaired in 2-3 weeks, becoming 2-3 months. As a matter of fact, we get calls from insurance agencies. They find us from other websites, such as Airbnb, and say, hi, we'd like to place you a client because your place looks perfectly located. And no questions asked, they send us a check. And so we got the economic crisis that's causing aberrations in people's, everyday living situations. We got the supply chain that's causing construction work or reconstruction, remodeling work to be delayed. And lastly, we have also a very profound change in weather patterns throughout the country. So a lot of people are traveling in ahead of time to avoid weather, bad weather, or just they're traveling as soon as the bad weather hits. So all of these non-vacation related travel demand. You ready for the demand?
Yes, let's do it.
So FlutterPads is just in our test market of Los Angeles because that's where we're from. 18 months ago, we started doing this because of people approaching us. Hey, do you have something? Right. So that's I told you this already. But in 18 months, we realized that the demand, as we did some research. In the 25 markets we plan to be in the next 5 years, that's our first stage one, because we're pretty big enterprise, So just as a bootstrapped ramen eating startup, we have $11 million of worth of assets and, plenty more in liabilities for constructing those assets, whatnot. So in the 25 markets we're going to go to, the demand for extended stay, that means 30 days or more, less than a year, is $200 billion. And this is 25 cities, just 25 cities.
So 25 cities in the U.S., not even worldwide.
Not even worldwide, right. And then what? As we delved deeper, because, we weren't ourselves interested in this stuff because we were a developer. We liked designing beautiful things. And so, and all of a sudden this started happening to us. And, and we have another bad habit, aside from not telling people what we do, just do things quietly. Another bad habit is that we never say no. You always say yes. If somebody comes, knocks on our door because they got a referral from some real estate agency, oh, Daniel's company knows this. They talk to them, these young kids, they know. And so we always say yes to people. And we started getting requests from property owners who actually bought our properties in the past and said, hey, go straight to the source. It's kind of like a Tesla model. Elon Musk,
yeah.
He doesn't allow middlemen, you know, because they build the product, they service the product, they sell the product. And we became like that in our development world.
Wow. This is really, really impressive. And so I think what I'm hearing you say is within 18 months during a pandemic, post-endemic or endemic phase, you were able to get $11 million plus and you didn't have to dip into the capital market. I think that's what I heard you say. That is really impressive. Also, these businesses that are sitting idle, I was just talking to someone about this. Are we turning this into a live workspace, a loft space? Because they're just sitting there and they're empty. What do you foresee for some of those
spaces? Oh, my God. I mean, there's so much economic and political things happening. And I think I briefly mentioned I don't come from real estate like a regular real estate person. I came from the banking angle of it. When I was 22 years old, 21 actually, straight out of college, I was an assistant to a private wealth management person's, company's banking, the mortgage banking division. So and that led me to the life of banking, which I never planned. I studied biology and law. And so anyway, so my entry to the real estate world took me in financing real estate, where, you know, underwriting, how you give loans out. I became an underwriter as in early 20s and whatnot. And then by the time I was 35 and I was exiting banking, thank God, before my liver gave out.
I was going to say.
My heart and liver gave out. Right? By that point, I was financing, you know, commercial apartment buildings and so forth. While being a investment advisor to private clients of large banks. So at that time, and I saw progressive degeneration and just like a disintegration of the theory of real estate financing, how real estate can be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it just got worse and worse and worse over the years. Because now, if let's say you're 35 year old, that's kind of late. So let's say historically speaking, if you're 28 to 35, you are already in your first home, in our parents' age. That is ties into flutter pads. That demographics has been very catastrophically affected in the capability to buy something, to find something, or to finance something, because the underwriting of home loans has not changed.
Yeah.
From 70 years ago, the rules they used versus what it cost to build something. We know it because we build stuff. You know, Airbnb doesn't build a property that they, you know, allow two people to rent from each other. We do. We know how much it costs. And we think about the host, how much he has to generate sustainably. At the same time, how much a guest can pay sustainably. So same thing with purchasing a property. The cost of real estate to either build it or to buy it yourself and to maintain it, the taxes, the utilities, the maintenance, because parts and stuff, this goes to the supply chain issue I was telling you. That's another crisis. Comes from outside the country. We don't make anything in our country. Everything comes from outside. So you don't control any of those factors, but you want your child who's 28 years old to buy a property? They won't be able to. So there's been a giant demographic and cultural shift of the historically home buying population age to defer, to push it forward. And they realize, you know what? I would rather have my sanity, financial flexibility, and do experience-based living. So we have a lot of visitors who just chose that they didn't really need to move, but they moved from Austin to here for 3 months because this, you know, why not? They can buy a home. Why not experience living in LA? Maybe I like it. So we started seeing that. I didn't expect that. And all of a sudden we do the research. The home buying demographics has been affected by and could be for decades. Who knows? As a banker, once again, I see things, you know, so it could be for decades.
Well, yeah.
Because we can't control a lot of things. You know, we can't control because they come from extra continental. So it doesn't come from the country. So supply chain. So if a 35-year-old cannot buy a home and, you know, he's still he's still young, and his wife's young, or his girlfriend, or what, a partner's young, and they want to experience living across the country to see where would be a great place for their investment, long-term investment. So they need to bounce around, and they need an affordable place that's not like renting a place from Airbnb with 14, 15%, you know, commissions. So all of that factored in to why we had to move on Flutterpads. It's the business calling us, not us creating the business.
And I always say that you have to go where the energy is. Even if it was that, if you're a serial entrepreneur, if it's the thing that's got the most energy going at it is where you have to put your attention to. Daniel, thank you for being here. I want you to come back. One Angelino to another, thank you for being entrepreneurial and seeing the future. Congratulations. I think what you're doing is amazing. And I can't wait for you to blow up and go worldwide. I'm sure you're going to be in Bali, in Iceland, Morocco. I could see you everywhere. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys.
See you soon. All right, guys. That was Daniel with Flutter. Such a cool backstory. Next up, we have Steve Rizzo. Steve, how's it going? Welcome to the startup.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, good. Oh, he's got a little East Coast in him. I can hear the accent.
You got a problem with that.
Steve, welcome to the startup. Go ahead and introduce yourself and your brand.
Well, I 25 years as a stand-up comedian. At the pinnacle of my career, I left stand-up to become a motivational speaker, and I've been doing that since, and it's the best move I ever made.
I love that. So Elevation Fitness, is that the brand or is it Steve?
That's just the gym I work at. And I just threw something on and they said, well, might as well put this on. So,
okay. Shout out to Elevation. You're giving them some love. Exactly. So great. It sounds like you have the ingredients to a long life. You got comedy and you got motivation and fitness. I mean, those are the two things we know that you need to have a sense of humor. Why don't you share with us your path in getting into the motivational speaking?
Sure. Absolutely. You're looking at someone who was voted least likely to succeed in his senior class in high school. When I was 14 years old, I was told by a guidance counselor in front of my mom and dad that I just didn't have what it takes to go to college. And it was that type of negative labeling that molded the direction for a good part of my life. Mm-hmm. When I got into the adult world after high school, my philosophy was don't try and you can't fail, you know. So, but 6 years after high school, thank God, because of a brother of mine who was 100% disabled from the Vietnam War, he turned his life around and he went to college and he told me that I was going to go. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And I did. Although it wasn't easy, I graduated with high honors. I went back to the same school that I graduated from. And I taught English and I was a counselor for kids with behavioral problems, proving once and for all that guidance counselors are not fortune tellers.
Okay. Wow.
So it just kept snowballing. You know, every step I took just gave me a little bit more confidence. And as I was teaching and doing the counseling at night, I was doing stand up at the clubs in New York City and Long Island, which is where I live. And I started getting really, really good. And clubs started hiring me to headline, but I couldn't because I was teaching. So I left the school system and I decided to go into the world of stand up comedy. My opening acts back in the day were Chris Rock, Sam Kennison, Rosie O'Donnell, Drew Carey. I shared the marquee with Eddie Murphy, Rodney Dangerfield, Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen DeGeneres, Kevin James. And I'm not saying this to impress you. Well, I guess I am, just a little bit.
Hey, it's an accomplishment to get your name on the marquees with come on, you got to brag about that.
But actually, at the pinnacle of my stand-up career, though, I had this calling to do something else. And I decided to go and I knew I had a calling because that teacher was still in me, you know. And I had this calling to do something in a more profound way. And I just delved into being a motivational speaker. And that's what I do. So,
there's a lot of humor
involved in my presentation, though, you know. Excuse me?
How could there not be, right?
Well, yeah. And you know, it fits perfectly because, and I think you'll agree, the attention span of the average audience today is very, very minimal. And And, you know, because you could be up there and unless you have some kind of entertaining value, you run the risk of losing the audience because they start pulling up their phones and they're texting.
Oh my gosh.
So my first 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, I do nothing but make them laugh. Wow. I can see them relax. And sometimes I speak to 10,000 people and I could see them relaxing. They trust me. And I give them the message and it's like laughter, message. And it's like a laugh and learn situation. So.
I really like that you're adding that teaspoon of sugar helps the medicine go down kind of approach. And where are you seeing your teaching going for the next year, for the first quarter, Q1 of 2024? Who's your dream client? Who haven't you mentored yet that you're looking to identify?
Well, most of my clients are 4 to 100, 500 companies. Wow. And what I'm doing now, which is, it's a great question. What I'm doing now is my book recently came out, Conversations with Bob.
Nice.
And Bob is God. Okay.
Okay. So, hey, God. So, hey, Bob.
In case your viewers are wondering, how does he get the name Bob? You have to read the book to find out. It's all dialogue. It's between two characters, Bob and Bernie. Bernie resides in the negative zone, where challenges get blown out of proportion and problems turn into emotional havoc. And he blames God for his life not working. Hmm. It just so happens something happens to Bernie. He has a heart attack. He winds up in this place where he thinks is heaven. And he meets this person by the name of Bob. And then when he finds out it's God, he tells Bob, "You never answered my prayers. You know how hard I tried. I pleaded with you. I begged you. You know how hard it is to look at your friends and they have everything you want. And no matter how hard I tried, nothing worked. You never answered my prayers." Mm-hmm. And Bob listens and says, "I did answer, but you pray with the same negative attitude that you have about your life. And yet you expect a miracle."
Ah.
So Bernie says, "Well, isn't that what you do? Isn't that your job to create miracles?" So Bob says, "Have you ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves?" He said, "Yes, I heard it my whole life." He goes, "Apparently you don't know what it means. You have to meet me halfway, Bernie, and you never did. You pray for success, but when it's not coming your way within a week or two, you run around in your negative rampage again saying the figures, my prayers aren't answered again, and yet you expect me to help you." So the whole book, Bob gives Bernie what he calls common sense success strategies and shifting habits to turn his life around. So I created this program from the book called The Bob Factor.
Ooh.
It's the subtitle is Transforming Your Life from Failure to Success, from Unhappiness to Fulfillment, and from Lack to Abundance. And all of the strategies are the same strategies that are within the book. It's entertaining, and it's the reason why I was put on this planet. It took me my whole life to figure that out.
Isn't that a beautiful gift, though, that you're giving to yourself and others that you did discover it? And why don't you hold the book up one more time, Steve? You guys, this is a great time for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating. Conversations with Bob. It'll fit in the stocking. You just roll it up, put a little ribbon on it, package it up. You're selling it on Kindle and Prime, right? Where are you selling it?
I could send you. Well, you can go to Amazon. That's the best place. Go to yourinnerbob.com. As a matter of fact, if you go to that website, you could see sample chapters and there's videos explaining what the book is about. And for anyone who feels, and that's almost everyone, I will say everyone on this planet, who feels that your life isn't working on any level or all levels, this book, it's very simplistic. It gives you these strategies. And we're born with these strategies, Monique. They're innate. Yeah. They're a part of who we are. It's just that we get so caught up in the crap of life that we're not aware that we can tap into these basic common sense things that can help us to turn our lives around.
I love what you're doing, Steve. Keep your valve open, everybody. Abraham Hicks always says you got to open your valve. You've got to let it in.
Yes.
It's just the disallowing of the stream. The stream is flowing. You just have to let it in. And we're built up from all these things that we were told subconsciously and how we were raised.
Yep.
But Steve, you got to come out for Emmys week. I'm sure that there's some celebrities that could really benefit from you. We'll have to invite you through Jessica. And happy holidays. Thank you for being here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And please, you're welcome. And tell Ronkonkoma and Long Island and Islip, I say hello. I've been lost there once.
I'm not too far from Islip. I live in Babylon. So.
All right, you guys, what we started today, this is Steve Rizzo. I'm Monique LeRae. We'll see you next week. Be well. Be well. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.